Okay, Boker Tov.
Shalom Alechem.
You'd say Shalom Lecha. So we had that, the last page we covered last week, page 49. So I say to you, Shalom Lechem. And you. That's right. You'd say back to me, Shalom Lecha. Today we move on to lesson 5. We'll have less material to cover than last week. Last week was a bit of a rapid pace. But part of the goal of this book and this approach is to get you up and reading quickly. So you may not know, may not remember everything that we cover through, all the grammatical points. But the more you read, the more it will all sink in. And the goal is to get you reading quickly. So today we come to adjectives. And if you think back to your high school English grammar, an adjective is something that is put next to a noun. Adiaceo is Latin for to throw next to. So an adjective gets thrown up against a noun, and it modifies the noun and tells us something more about the noun. So section 1, we get introduced to a number of adjectives. And adjectives come because nouns can be singular or plural, masculine or feminine. An adjective has to come in all four different forms. So the one adjective will have a masculine and feminine form, and in each of those it will have a singular and plural form. We look across the first entry there. Tov. Tov. So tov is the adjective good. That's the masculine singular form. And tova. Tova. Feminine singular form. Tovim. Tovim. Masculine plural, and tovot. Tovot, feminine plural. And then you have to use the appropriate form for what the noun is. So whatever number and gender the noun is, you have to use the appropriate form of the adjective. Halfway down the page, we have a series of notes there. So firstly, note the feminine singular usually ends with a, so comets hey. And we've seen that already for nouns. That's the standard ending for a feminine singular. Masculine plural usually ends with im. So hirikyod mem. Im. Feminine plural usually ends with ot. Ot. Either a holom vav tav or just holom tav. Okay, let's carry on down the list. The next one, the opposite of tov, is ra. Ra. And feminine singular, ra'a, ra'im, and ra'ot. Ra'ot. Next one, great, gadol, gadol, gadol. Feminine singular is gadola, gadola. And you note that there we've gone from a two-syllable word to a three-syllable word, so there's been a shortening of the first syllable. Just as we would naturally do in English. So that long A in gadol, comets, has shortened to a shva. And that's pointed out by note number 4. For masculine, singular forms begin with comets. Feminine and plural have either a shva or a composite shva. And that's just because when you get a multi-syllable word, three syllables, it's just our natural tendency is to shorten up the early syllables. So, gadola. Masculine plural, gadolim. Gadolim, so notice that same shortening of the first syllable, and gadolot. Gadolot. The opposite of that is katan. Katan, meaning small. And feminine singular, katana. Katana. Katanim. Katanim. And katanot, katanot. Then hakam, hakam is wise. Hukama, hukama, hukamim, and hukamot. The opposite of that is kasil. Kasil means foolish. Kasila, kasilim. And kasilot. Then yashar. Yashar is upright. Yashara. So again, that shortening of the first syllable. Yasharim. And yasharot. And the opposite of yashar is rasha. Rashat, wicked. And rusha'a. Rusha'im. And rusha'ot. Okay, so those four pairs of adjectives, eight altogether, they're regular. You've got the standard endings for feminine singular, masculine plural, and feminine plural. Then note also, and here we have some other words. Firstly, the number one, which also really functions as an adjective. So, and we have echad and achat. Echad and achat. And because a number modifies a noun, it also comes in masculine and feminine forms. So echad is masculine form and achat is feminine form. And then the number two, shnayim. Shnayim and shtayim. So shnayim is masculine form, shtayim is feminine form. Notice that it ends in im, but even more so it ends in ayim. And we're eventually going to learn that there's another form. We have singular and we have plural. And then when you have two of something, the word ends in ayim. So we've already encountered that in things like shamayim, the heavens. And then parts of the body, so ears and eyes and nostrils and things will have a dual ending. Then some nouns. Ish. Ish, we've seen before, meaning man. Isha. Isha is woman, so standard kametz hey ending. Ach. Ach is brother. And then the feminine of that is irregular. It has the feminine plural form of ending, even though it's feminine singular, achot, achot. Then in the plural of ach is achim, achim, brothers, so that's regular. And then the plural of achot is achayot, achayot, sisters. Carrying down our list of notes, note number five. In some forms of tov, the middle vav may be omitted. Remember that the vav is a consonant, but it began to be used also as a vowel. And so sometimes it you'll find it spelt without that, just with a holom. So tova, tovim, tovot, with a holom, not with a holom vav. And number six, in the word list, only a basic meaning is given. Hebrew adjectives usually cover a wide area of meaning. And this is true for English adjectives as well. So, for example, ra, meaning which we covered there as being evil, can be bad, inferior, decayed, ugly, wrong, harmful. And you'd use context to determine an appropriate way to translate it into English, and usually that's going to depend upon the noun that it goes with, as to, but it's going to be something negative in all cases. Katan, we saw means small, and it can be small physically, it can be small in significance, it can be small in importance. So we could translate it as insignificant, or it can be small in terms of age. So you would then use it as being to talk of a young brother or a youngest son, that. But however you translate it, it's going to have something to do with little. And then yashar, we saw it was given to us as upright, but it has a basic meaning of going straight. Then it could be straight in a straight line. It can be level in terms of a level field. It can be straight in terms of your character, so you're upright or you're honest. And you'd use the context, especially the noun itself, to determine what would be a good way of translating that adjective. Okay, now number two, section two. We get illustration of how these adjectives work with nouns and what happens with how we use the definite article ha. And so this will come to your question, Melody, eventually, as to why do we have sometimes ele and sometimes ha ele. So plain vanilla, as it were, anashim shnayim. Anashim shnayim, two men. And so the noun comes first, and the adjective follows it. In this case, that's a number telling us how many of these men. Ish tov. Ish tov. So a good man. Again, the noun comes first, and the adjective follows it. What I should do is go back and forth across the page. Sorry. So nashim shetayim tovot. Nashim shetayim tovot, two good women. So in this case, we've now got two adjectives modifying the nashim. Nashim being the plural of women, of isha. And then we're told that there's shetayim of them, so using the feminine form of two. And then that they're tovot. So we have to use the feminine plural form of tov, two good women. Probably could. The more usual order would be this way. Put the number first. Then corresponding to ish tov, we have isha tova. Isha tova. So the noun comes first, the adjective follows it. Next line. Ha'ish ha'tov. Ha'ish ha'tov. So now we're saying it's not simply a good man, but we have one particular man in mind, Ha'ish, the man. And now, since when you put the article on the noun, you also have to put it onto the adjective. So you say Ha'ish Ha'tov, the man. Which man? The good one. So the article goes on both. Now then, if you're using ele, which is a demonstrative pronoun, these, and you were saying ha anashim ha ele. If you use the article on the noun, you'd have to use it on ele, on the demonstrative.
So always, okay. If you use article on the noun, you have to use
if the adjective is modifying the noun. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to see the next line down. A noun used differently, but. And then the feminine form, ha'isha ha'tova, ha'isha ha'tova. So the woman, which particular woman? It's the good woman. So the article's on the noun, so article goes on the adjective following it. Now we turn that around, and you can have tov ha'ish, tov ha'ish, and then it means not the good man, but the man is good. So you can think of it as being good is the man. And notice there's no verb there. We have to add a verb in English. And in Hebrew, a lot of cases you can dispense with the verb to be. It's understood by context, and we have to add that in English. And that happens in other languages as well. They can get by without the verb to be. So in that case, the adjective is put first and is essentially an apposition to the noun, and we have to supply what we call a linking verb. So the verb to be there functions as a linking verb, linking those two words. And in this case, the article doesn't go on the adjective. And then the equivalent for the word.
So therefore, when this is like a predicate.
It's a predicate, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The first one is like adjective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So always, then the order becomes important whether the adjective comes first or not.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, any of you get that? So normally the adjective gets used attributively. So saying ha'ish ha'tov, the adjective tov is attributing a quality to the ha'ish. So the adjective is used attributively. In tov ha'ish, The adjective is used as a predicate. One of the reasons you learn a foreign language is so you can learn your own grammar. And the feminine form then, tova ha'isha. Tova ha'isha. The woman is good, or good is the woman. Hatov, you can use the adjective on its own. In this case, you'd use it with the article. Hatov, the good one. And because it's masculine singular, you know, it's got to be referring to a masculine singular something. And usually it's going to be, and context is going to make it clear, it's going to be a masculine singular person that you're referring to. So Hatov could be simply the good man. And Hatova, Hatova, the good woman. Then the number one can be used in a particular way. Tov Echad, Tov Echad, one good man. And it can then even at times simply become a good man or a particular good man or a certain good man, but one good man. And Tova Achat, Tova Achat, one good woman. Using the adjective on its own without the article, referring now to a particular, just a general person, hakam, hakam. So, strictly speaking, an adjective, but here used as what we call a substantive, so serving as a noun, a wise man. If it was he hakam, it would be the wise man, but here hakam, a wise man. Nashim hakamot. Nashim hakamot, wise women. So nashim, the plural of isha, and then hakamot, feminine plural of wise. Next one down, hechakam, hechakam, adding on the article, the wise man. So now we're talking about a particular one. Then achat hi, achat hi. She is unique, so achat, the feminine form, feminine of one, and then he, demonstrative pronoun, feminine, singular, for she, this one is, she is one. So she is unique. And then finally, tov, tov. So strictly, tov is good, but occasionally it can even function as a, here basically sort of like a neuter substantive, just expressing goodness, the quality of the adjective as a viewed as a noun. And then tovot, tovot, feminine plural, good things. It's heth there because preceding a guttural, preceding in this case het with a comet. Yep. So in front of the guttural, so aleph, ayin, het, and also in front of he, it tends to change its vowel. And that will be summarized for us again on the top of page 53, referring back to section 3.9 as to. You don't necessarily have to remember precisely what it changes to, just be able to recognize that it's changed, and that's what it still is the article. Okay, section 3. So those are examples of how the adjective functions in its various ways with nouns and standing on its own. Section 3, some phrases, more phrases, we get to see these in action. Tov Hamelech. Tov Hamelech. The king is good. So predicate use of the adjective. Lotov Hamelech. Lotov Hamelech. So we use lo to negate it. To negate the tov. The king is not good. Hakam Habain. Hakam Habain. The son is wise. And then continuing this sentence. Velo Kasil. Velo Kasil, and not foolish. Tova habat. Tova habat. The daughter is good. Feminine singular noun, so feminine singular adjective. Velo ra'ah. Velo ra'ah, and not bad. Hakamot hanashim. Hakamot Hanashim. The women are wise. So feminine plural noun. So feminine plural form of the adjective. Vagam Yesharot. Vagam Yesharot. And also upright. So gam there, remember meaning also. Yesharot Hanashim. Yesharot Hanashim. The women are upright. Velo Rasha'ot. Velo Rasha'ot. And not wicked. Gedolim Ha'anashim. Gedolim Ha'anashim. Velo Ketanim. Velo Ketanim. The men are big and not small. So all those predicate uses of the adjective coming first, and then we in English have to supply the verb to be as a linking verb, linking the adjective as a predicate to then it's the noun. Over the page, av echad, one father, ve'em achat. Ve'em achat, and one mother. So, av, masculine singular, so we use the masculine form of one. Em, feminine singular, so we use the feminine form of one. Bein hakam, bein hakam, a wise son. So, attributive use of the adjective. And then we're told something about him. Yismach av. Yismach av. He gladdens his fathers. Yismach is he brings joy, rejoices, and so on. Yishma hakam. Yishma hakam. A wise man listens. So there hakam being used as a substantive, so functioning as a noun. Okay, back to page 51 and column 8. Nashim shetayim. Nashim shetayim. So two women, the noun first, then the adjective as attributive, feminine plural. Melech gadol. Melech gadol. A great king. Hamelech hagadol. Hamelech hagadol. The great king. So in the article on both the noun and its adjective. Melakot katanot. Melakot katanot. So melakot, queens. It's a feminine plural form of melech. And then katanot, katan, the opposite of gadol. Little queens. Well, is it talking about their physical size? Probably not. It's talking about their significance and their importance. So unimportant queens. Take that. Kasil echad. Kasil echad. So, kasil, masculine, singular. There's no noun going with it, so we just take it as being, by default, a man. Echad, then used as one foolish man. And then, for a feminine, we'd have vishara achat. Vishara achat. And one righteous woman. So Vishara with a Vav on the front because we're following on the sentence from the previous line. Rasha Achat Ki Rasha Ha'ach. Rasha Achat, the brother is wicked. And then we have a Ki clause. Ki is because or for Katal Anashim. Katal Anashim. He killed men, and then we're told something about the men. Shanayim hakamim. Shanayim hakamim. So anashim, shanayim hakamim, two wise men. Vishara ahakot. Vishara ahakot. The sister is upright, and it begins with a vav, so that's a conjunction with the previous statement. And we could translate that as and, but really what it's doing is it's going to draw a contrast between the behavior of the brother and the behavior of the sister. So we would translate the there as but. But the sister is upright, and now we get a key clause for her, an explanatory clause, because lo katala et ha'anashim. Lo katala et ha'anashim. Because she did not kill the men. Over the page. Ra'a Elohim, God sees. Ra'a, to see. God sees. Who does he see? Rusha'im visharim. Rusha'im visharim. He sees wicked people and righteous people. So Rusha'im, masculine plural, wicked, and visharim from yusharim, righteous. Kasil ani, I am foolish, I am kasil, v'hakam ata. So hakam ata, you are wise, and a vav there at the beginning as a conjunction between those two halves of the sentence, and it's drawing a contrast between the two, so we translate that as but. Tovim anachnu, we are good. So anachnu, we plural, so we have to use a plural form of the adjective. And then the contrast, v'ra'im atem, but you are evil. Again, taking vav there as an adversative conjunction, as but. Okay, so all various examples of how adjectives are working. And little clauses. Section 4. Nouns, adjectives, and the definite article. So we have nouns. So a noun refers to a thing, either a physical entity or a conceptual entity. And we have, they can be masculine or feminine, singular or plural. So some masculine nouns, ish, man or husband, Yisrael, Israel, and Davar, a word or a thing. All those are masculine nouns. Then we have some feminine nouns, Isha, woman or wife, Eretz, earth or land. Now Isha, that's got a standard feminine ending, a word like Eretz. It's a little tricky because it doesn't look like a feminine, like a normal feminine noun, but it is. And then berit, a covenant or a treaty, that also doesn't look like a standard feminine noun. It's not. So those you just have to eventually learn. In the case of Eretz, eventually you'll become familiar with the plural form of it, and it's got a standard plural, feminine plural form that will help you. And then some more masculine nouns. Shame is name. Panim is face. And Nachal is stream. Then a note here about gender. All nouns have gender to them. Most Hebrew nouns are either masculine or feminine. A few nouns like derek, meaning road or route or way, are sometimes masculine, sometimes feminine. You can tell what they are by the verb that goes with them or by an adjective. Very few masculine or feminine nouns refers to things that are male or female. So, for example, covenant or treaty, it is a feminine noun, but there's nothing intrinsically female about that. Now, when you're talking of people, sister is feminine because the noun, she really is female. But this attributing of gender to nouns has nothing to do with the intrinsic nature of that. And we still attribute gender to certain nouns in English. Certain things we're talking about will, inanimate objects we will refer to not as it, but as she. Okay, so, earth, yeah, we often earth, a ship, we'll do that with. Hebrew just has masculine and feminine genders. Other languages also have a neuter gender. I don't know quite what the historical reasons are as to how genders get attributed to nouns, but they all have them. Okay, section two, words that can describe nouns are called adjectives. So an adjective thrown up against a noun, adiakio, thrown next to a noun, and modifies the noun, tells us something more about the noun. So the ones we've already seen, tov, good, ra, rav means many or much, so that's a new one. Katan we saw is small, and chadash is new. Rasha we've seen is wicked, and then a new one, zakain, old. Nouns have to agree with their adjectives. When an adjective describes a noun, it has the same number, so singular or plural, as a noun, and the same gender, as we've already seen. So, davar tov, a good thing. Davar is masculine singular, so we use a masculine singular adjective. Berit chadasha, a new covenant. Berit feminine singular, so feminine singular adjective. Nechalim rabim, many streams, nechalim, masculine plural, so we use a masculine plural form of the adjective. And banot rabot, many daughters, feminine plural. Section number three, the word the is called the definite article, or we could simply refer to it as the article. In English, we have both a definite and an indefinite article, so the is the definite article, and a or an is the indefinite article. So with a definite article, we're referring to a specific thing. An indefinite one, we're just referring to something generically. Hebrew only has one article, so you can call it the definite article, or you can simply call it the article. And the definite article is ha, so normally a he with a pata under it. Sometimes that pata, the short a, gets lengthened into a long a, comets, or changed into a short e, the segol. And we saw the rules for that back in section 3.9. You don't have to particularly remember the rule. The real thing just to remember is that if the noun begins with a guttural letter, so an aleph, ayin, chet, something's likely to happen to the vowel under the article. Then when a noun which has one of these, the article is described by an adjective, the adjective also has the definite article. So we've seen ha'ish hazakein, the old man. And we have to put the article on the adjective there, hazakein. So hey, the patah, and then a dagesh in the first syllable of the noun. Ha'aretz hatova, the good land. So feminine singular. Hadavar hatov hazeh. So hadavar, the thing. Hatov, the good thing. And then zeh is this. Demonstrative pronoun, masculine singular. So this good thing. And each of those three words has the article. And habarit hachadasha hazot. Habarit hachadasha hazot. This new covenant. Berit is feminine singular, so we have to use the chadasha, the feminine singular form of that adjective, and then the feminine singular form of the demonstrative pronoun, zot. So in the previous line we used ze, which is a masculine singular demonstrative, because devar is masculine singular. Here we use the feminine singular demonstrative with a feminine singular noun. Section 5, some more words or vocabulary for us. Ashir. Ashir, an adjective meaning rich. Ashir. Ani. Ani. Adjective meaning poor. Berit. Berit we've seen as covenant. Anohi or Ani. Anohi or Ani. Personal pronoun, first singular meaning I. Yeled. Yeled. Noun meaning son or child. Asara. Asara, the number 10. Ha. Ha, so hey with a composite shava under it, and this, and it will always be joined to the beginning of a word. Don't mistake this for the article. This is how you ask a question, is you put this on the front of the first word of the statement. So what we call an interrogative hey, and it has a composite shava there, so composite of a patah and a shava, as opposed to the vowel that will be under the article. So that might catch you out to begin with, but the more you read, you'll get familiar with it and be able to recognize that that's happening. And it's going to help that usually it's going to come right after a verb of saying. Then he said, so you'll have vayomer and then this right away. So context will help make it clear that it's a question. Min or meh. Min is from or more than. And have a wide range of meanings. And we'll learn a little bit more of that in due course. Min. Mid-David. Mid-David. From David. Or in context can be more than David. Now that started out as min. And notice there's a dagesh in the first dalet. The nun has disappeared from min, and it's left a little remnant, little memory of itself, little memento of itself as a dagesh in the dalet. So that's why that dagesh is there. Mid-David. Lame or lama? Lame, lama is why. Why? Baka. Baka, he wept. Achal. Achal, he ate. So two verbs. Yera. Yera. It is sad. It was sad. This can have a wide area of meanings. It's related to the adjective we saw. Ra. Ra, which is evil or bad. This can mean it was evil. It was bad. It was sad. And so on. Ain. Ain. This is a little word that means there is not. The word not. Harag, harag, he killed. Killed, that's the normal word for he killed. Natan, natan, he gave. Shamar, shamar, he kept or guarded. Shame, shame is name. And shmo, shmo is his name. So we add a personal pronoun on the end. Haya, haya, he was, it was, just a standard verb to be, which we've seen already in Hebrew. Often you don't need to use that in places where we would need it in English. And probably the most common way of encountering that verb, haya, is in the form vayehi. Vayehi, and this is a continuing narrative form of the verb that we've seen. And there was, and this will just occur in a story, and this is what in the King James will be translated, and it came about that, or and it was that, and so a lot of these in narrative.
Can you say that last one again?
Vayehi? Yeah, actually, opinion differs among Hebrew scholars as to whether that's a vocal or a silent shava. I say it as a vocal shava, vayehi, mainly because, well, largely, that's the way it's used in Hebrew today, it's vayehi, but others would say it should be vahi. Okay, now we see some of these words in action, in some sentences. Tov anochi midavid. Tov anochi midavid. So, tov anochi, I am good, and then midavid, than or more than David. So a comparison is being made here, and that min, so there's a min on the front of David. The nun has been, what we say, assimilated into the first letter of the noun, that dalet, and has become a dagesh. And so min expresses sort of from or from out of. In this case, it's expressing a difference, I from David, and that I am tov from him. He is less tov than I am. I am more tov than him. So I am better than David. And that would be the usual way in Hebrew that you express a comparison. Lo hakam anochi mishlomo. Lo hakam anochi mishlomo. So now this is a negative comparison. Lo hakam, I am not wise. Lo hakam anochi, I am not wise. Mishlomo, than Shlomo, than Solomon. Vayomer, halo anochi gadol minatan. Vayomer, halo anochi gadol minatan. Then he said, am I not? So if we just had anochi gadol minatan, I am greater than Nathan, then we negate that by saying lo anochi, I am not greater than Nathan, and then we make it a question with that ha on the front of lo. So notice that composite shava under the he. So that makes it all into a negative question. Am I not greater than Nathan? Okay, so you see how that is functioning. So we, in there, we get a comparative min, we get the use of lo, and we get the use of a question, an interrogative hey. And finally, he'ani b'Yisrael, he'ani b'Yisrael, the poorest man in Israel. So this is the he'ani, the poor one. A segol under the head because it's followed by a guttural, an ayin there. So the vowel under the article has changed. The poor, b'Yisrael, in Israel. But here, and the context would probably make this clear, that we're using the adjective as a superlative. Right? So if you remember, again, from your English grammar, so you can have an adjective and then a comparative and a superlative. So good is the adjective, better is the comparative, and superlative, best. Good, better, best. So this is how you'd have, we see the first three examples, a comparative. So you use the adjective plus min. And as a superlative, you would just use the adjective with an article. And the context will make it clear that that's what you're talking of. And often you'll see this with like hakatan, the little one, but context is making it clear what it's referring to is the youngest son or the youngest one of a family or something like that as a superlative. Okay, and then a note here about min, this min. So the full form would be min hamelech, from the king. So min then with this raised hyphen joining it to the next word. And that can all then be abbreviated. Before the article, min may become me. So you can have me hamelech. And min hamelech and me hamelech mean exactly the same thing. It's just Meha Melech as an abbreviated form of that, a more compact form of that. Well, particularly with its Minha Melech, what that raised accent does is it makes it all, from a pronunciation point of view, all one word. So there's only one stressed syllable in that whole unit, Minha Melech. And so, and in this case, the accent would be on the Meh of Melech. So we tend to speed up early syllables in a word like that. So min hamelech. You're going to have trouble doing that as you're reading along. You're just going to go Minna Melech, and you're going to sound it out. But eventually, it's a sign that raised hyphen there is, okay, I've got to try and you're trying to do all this on the fly, scan that, say, oh, yes, I've got to read that all as one word, try and get out four syllables with a stress on the appropriate syllable. And then the final line there, before most consonants, min becomes mi with a dagesh in the following syllable, in the first consonant of the word. And we say that the nun gets assimilated into that consonant. What eventually you're going to learn is that there are certain letters in Hebrew that are called weak letters. They tend to disappear readily. And that's true of the ones that get used as vowels. So vav, he, and yod. And then it's true also of a nun. Usually you can think of that one. If you said min melek, say that 10 times rapidly. And by the 10th time, you're going to be saying min melek. And usually it seems strange. And then when you just think about it, these sorts of things usually happen for good euphonic principles. So just for sounding well. Okay, some more reading. I think it's getting about time that we start going around the table and having you trying to stumble through and read out rather than just following me. So I'll read the first sentence and then we'll work our way around. You can start stumbling through. Okay? So section 6, top of page 54. Vayihi ish ani v'gam ish gadol. Vayihi ish ani v'gam ish gadol. So vayihi, there was, or King James would have put it, now it came about that there was an ish ani, a poor man, v'gam, and also an ish gadol, a great man, or really be an important man. Karen, do you feel up to? Good. Ani ha'ish hazeh velo ashir hu. Good. So, ani ha'ish hazeh, this man is poor. Poor is this man. Velo ashir hu, and he is not rich. So velo ashir and not rich is hu, is he. So that demonstrative pronoun there. Now it could have simply said ani ha'ish hazeh velo ashir, this man is poor and not rich. By adding the hu on the end there makes it a little more emphatic and makes it clearer that we're referring back to the ha'ish hazeh. Good. Melody? Good. Ashira ha'isha hazot u gedola. Ashira, so rich, then ha'isha hazot, this woman, is rich, u gedola, and great, big, important. Lo gadol anohi min hamelek. Lo gadol anoki, I am not great. And then min hamelek makes that a comparative, greater than the king. Judy? Katan anoki me hamelek would be, I am less important than the king. So we have a comparative use of min there in front of hamelek. Lo makes it negative, and the ha in front of lo makes it a question. So notice that composite shava under the ha of halo. So put that all together. Halo, am I, is it not? Katan anaki, I am less important, mehamelech, than the king. And the min hamelech of the previous sentence and the mehamelech here mean exactly the same thing. No difference at all in meaning. It's just one's a shorter form than the other. And in front of hamelech, in front of the ha, the min has become me. Katan there is, katan is little.
Oh, little.
So little in, well, it could be physical size, or here, probably you're talking of the king and talking of importance. John? Good. Halo anochi hakatan b'Yisrael. Anochi? Anochi. Yeah, it's a, sort of an aspirated anochi. Anochi. It's a. Think of it as a KH. So, no, the het is from is further back. Het is more guttural. It's not a guttural, although in English we can come very close to pronouncing it as guttural. It's really a K followed by an H. If you think of where, if you say K, you're sort of shutting off the back of your mouth, and then you're trying to follow that immediately with an H, with a breath. Whereas a is a little further back in the throat. This is what I assume you do if you do a, like, studies in phonetics, is you spend the first month playing around with your mouth and trying to learn what's going on in your mouth as you're saying various phonemes. Similar form to the previous one, but now, so notice that now hakatan has an article on it, the article on it. So now it makes it into, instead of just being less important, and there's no comparative around, we can take this now as being a superlative, the least important. So anaki hakatan be Israel, I am the least important in Israel. So literally, I am the little one in Israel. I'm the little one, really. So really what he'd be saying, I'm the least one. And then lo and ha, ha lo, making it into a negative question. Robert? Ashir Shlomo mid David. A comparative use of the adjective here with mid David. So a comparison being drawn from Shlomo mid David, Solomon then David. So Solomon was Ashir, richer than David. And Sean? Good. Lama lo tov anochi minatan. Lama, a question, why? And then negative comparison here. Lo tov anochi minatan. I am not better than Nathan. Why am I not better than Nathan? So ain functions, it almost functions as a verb. It's strictly speaking, it's not a verb. But and then there'll be a positive form of it, which is yesh, there is. And you would say there is something and there isn't something. Whereas lo, you use lo to negate a verb, to negate an adjective. Okay, next section, this covenant. So I'll read through this and you can follow along with me. And then when we get to Hannah has no sons, well, I'll have you go around and take sentences as well and read them. So... Shama et divrei habarit hazot vayevk velo akal. Shama et divrei habarit hazot vayevk velo akal. So Shama, he heard. Et marks our direct object. Et divrei habarit hazot, the words of this covenant. Vayevk, and he wept. Velo achal, and he did not eat. So notice we start off with shama, that form of the verb that we learned last week expresses completed action in the past, or completed action, he heard. And then the story continues with vayevk, that continuing narrative form of the verb. Vayera lev ha'ish ki amar natan lanu Adonai et habarit hazot velo shamarnu et divrei habarit asher natan lanu et hanavi'im ha'raganu asher dibru lanu lemor Shimaru et divrei berit ha Elohim. So that was a long sentence. So back to the beginning of that. Vayera. Vayera. Lev ha'ish. So the heart of the man was sad. Vayera. So vayera, continuing narrative form of the verb. We're keeping going with this story. That's the next verb that's presented to us. Ki amar, because he had said, Natan lanu Adonai, the Lord gave to us. So Natan, he gave, lanu, to us, with the anu first plural pronoun. Et marks the object. Et habarit hazot. Habarit hazot. This covenant. Velo shamarnu. Velo shamarnu. And we did not keep. We did not guard. So shamar, to keep, to guard. It's a usual word you use in conjunction with observing commandments, keeping commandments. Et devrei habarit, that marks the direct object of the shamarnu. We did not keep the words of this, of the covenant. And he translates that as the terms of the covenant. That's really what is being implied by devrei, the what the covenant specifies. Asher natan lanu, which he gave to us, so Natan Lanu again. Ve et hanavi'im haragnu. And the prophets we have killed. Now, notice there that the et hanavi'im, the direct object, comes before the verb. Right? And we've seen that normally Hebrew functions with the verb first. Normal order would be verb, subject, object. So here, it's been reversed and the object's being put first, which puts an emphasis, it makes it emphatic, in the prophets we have killed. Now, who are the prophets? Are the ones who spoke God's word to them. So, Asher Dibaru Lanu, who spoke to us. So, Asher, relative pronoun. Dibaru, they spoke, lanu, to us. Lemor, open quotation marks. Shimru et divrei berit ha-Elohim. Shimru et divrei berit ha-Elohim. Shimru is imperative, plural imperative. Keep, guard, et divrei berit, the words of the covenant or the terms of the covenant of God. Then a note here that Devar has a wide range of possible meanings according to the context in which it is used. So the plain vanilla meaning we can think of as being word. It can be speech, or it can be news, or a command, a saying, a promise, a thing. So it's the Hebrew word, the biblical Hebrew word for thing, hadavar, the thing. An event, so the sort of chronicles of the times would be the Devrei Hayamim, the things of the days or the events of the days, an event, an incident, lawsuit, and so on. A wide range of meaning. And yet you'd use context to determine the appropriate term. In this passage, we've translated Devrei as words of or terms of. And in Exodus 34, the Devrei Habarit are the Ten Commandments, so the words of the commandment, of the words of the covenant. Okay, ready for another round of reading here? Karen, would you like to start off there and take, let's see, the first sentence is those first three lines. Echad.
Oh,
Echad, that's a Dalit. It's very similar to a Resh. The difference between them is that little tittle when Jesus talked of not one jot or tittle shall pass away That tittle he's referring to. The jot is the yod, the smallest letter, and the tittle is that little serif that makes a difference between the dalet and the resh. Okay, vayhi ish echad. Good. Yeah, that's a mouthful, that one. Ha ramatayim. Good. So vayhi ish echad, there was a man. So here echad, this is about as close as a Hebrew can get to an indefinite article. So there was one man, or a certain man, we might say. There was a man. Min haramatayim. So min here is being used in the sense of from a place. Ramatayim, this will be the name of his village, or where he's from. Ushmo, and his name. So shem, name, shmo, his name. Elkanah. Melody? Okay, good. Velo shte nashim. Velo shte nashim. Gets translated as he had two wives. Now, how does it have that meaning? Velo, and to him. Lo, to him. So, in the sense of, and we would say that lamed is, say, a lamed of possession belonging to him. Shte nashim, two women, or two wives. Shem achat, the name of one, Hannah, Vashem Hashenit, and the name of the second, Hashenit, Panina. So because we've got a Hashenit, the second, then we could take the Achat in the previous line as being the first. Vayihi, and it was, and came about that, or it was, Lifnina. So Lifnina, another lamed of belonging, of possession, and there was two Panina, Yeladim, children. So we saw that Yelad is child, and Yeladim, here the plural. So Vayihi Lifnina, Lifnina, Yeladim. The word for Panina, children, so Panina had children. Ulechana, ein yeladim. So ulechana, so it's that same construct, lechana, and for Hannah, belonging to Hannah, with the u on the front, the vav as a conjunction. Here it's drawing a sort of a negative comparison, so they're unlike, so we'd take that as but. But for Hannah, ein. So here's that there was not, there were no yeladim, children. So Melody, you see there, you couldn't use lo. You wouldn't use lo to negate the yeladim. You're saying, it's not simply not, you're just saying there was not. So you'd use that ein, there is not. Use lo to negate a verb or to negate an adjective. But for a noun, you're not saying not noun. Basically, for a noun, you're wanting to say it doesn't exist. There is not. So that's where you would use ein. Okay, good. Vayera lev chana. Vayera lev chana. So we're carrying on the narrative sequence. Vayera, that's continuing narrative form. And it was sad. And the subject is lev chana, the heart of Hannah. Hannah's heart was sad. Ki ein la banim. Ki ein la banim. Because, ki ein, there was not la to her banim, sons. Because there was not to her sons, i.e. because she had no sons. Vativke, so carry on our narrative chain, the next one in this continuing narrative form of the verb, and she wept. So we've seen vayevk, and he wept. This is now the feminine singular form of that, third feminine singular, vativke, and she wept. Velo tokal, and she did not eat. Judy? Okay, it's a long one. Vayomer Elkana Lechana. Vayomer Elkana Lechana. So Vayomer, then he said, and this is a good one to be able to just learn to say because it's probably the most common form in the whole Old Testament. So over 2,000 times, then he said. Again and again and again. And this is certainly the most common form in narrative. Then he said, so in the subject Elkanah, then Elkanah said, Lechana to Hannah. Hannah, lame tivki. Hannah, lame tivki. So Hannah, lame, why? Tivki, do you cry? So tivki, their second feminine singular, you cry of baka. V'lame lo tokli. V'lame lo tokli. And why do you not eat? So tokli, the second feminine singular form of akal. And these forms we're going to learn in the next chapter, in the next lesson. Tivki and tokli. V'lame yera levavich. V'lame yera levavik, and why is your heart levavik yera sad? So levavik, the ending there is feminine singular, your second feminine singular, your heart. Halo anoki tov lach me asara banim. So we have a comparative here with me on the me asara, comparative cast as a negative question with a hello. So if it's anaki tov lecha me asara banim, I am better to you than 10 sons. And then put as a negative question, am I not better to you than 10 sons? Okay, good. So we're getting closer and closer to actually reading the straight text of Scripture. That's a modified version of the first part of 1 Samuel chapter 1. Okay, now we have the Shema, Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael, hear, O Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Eloheinu, the Lord our God. Adonai Echad. Adonai Echad. The Lord is one or unique or something. And then verse 5. V'ahavta et Adonai Eloheka. V'ahavta et Adonai Eloheka. And v'ahavta, and you love. And you shall love, or you must love. So use context just to determine how you want to cast that. And you shall love. Et Adonai Eloheka, the Lord your God. Eloheka? Eloheka. And then we're given three things that you're to love him with. Bekol levavka. Bekol levavcha, with all your heart. And the lev, really this is meaning, so the lev was viewed as the seat of thinking, so you could translate this as all your mind. So ancient Hebrews attributed to the heart really what we would think of as being in the mind. Uvekol nafshecha. Uvekol nafshecha. And with all your nefesh. Now nefesh, well, you think, well, I just mean soul, but really it's, in Hebrew, it's all that makes you a person, a living entity, a person. So it's with all yourself, all your very being. And then, uvekol me'odecha, uvekol me'odecha, and with all your me'od, and yeah, it's sort of abundance or strength. You can even think of it with all your oomph, with all your, with ma'od gets used on its own to mean very. So, I mean, it's but odd to have it used like this. It's sort of with everything that you have, absolutely everything that you have. So between them all, they cover with every imaginable bit of yourself. Love the Lord your God. And then some notes here, levav, and it's shortened for lev. Yes, means heart, but metaphorically, mind, intelligence, it's sort of what animates you, what your whole center of thinking and emotions and thinking and everything. Nefesh, breath, life, person, self. Usually you wouldn't translate this as soul. You'd come up with some other way, and it can just be translated as self, person. It's everything that makes me, really. Makes me an animated entity. Ma'od, abundance or strength. And then a note here that uvakol, and with all of, before the bait, vav, mem, and peh, or any other letter with a vocal shava, the vav with a shava becomes u, a shurek. The usual way of remembering this, so it's these letters, bait, vav, mem, and peh. So if you think of that as bumath, bu, u, m, and peh. That's the sort of usual mnemonic, just thinking, oh yeah, it's in front of those, plus anything with a vocal shava, that the v becomes u. So for example, the navi and a prophet, but then if navi, we lengthen that into nuviya, a prophetess, where that opening pata has shortened to a vocal shava, the v then changes to an u instead of a vocal shava. And then in front of any vowel, any word beginning with one of those bumaf letters. Bakal is the b is with. So b has as a preposition, wide range of meanings. We've seen it can mean in, it can mean against. Here it's with, and you use context to determine. Kol is all.
All.
Kol. Kol there, yes. Kol, that's a short O.
Oh.
Bakol. And this is by far the most common word that you'll find that as a short O. And if you just remember, it's similar to kol. Okay?
So you're saying
uvakol? Uvakol. So, you can try and read through the Shema a few times, and we can learn that. Section 5.8, middle of page 57. Vayihi erev, vayihi voker, yom hamishi. Vayihi erev. Vayehi Foker Yom Hamishi. And there was evening and there was morning. Yom Hamishi, the fifth day. And that's the end of the fifth lesson. And then right at the end, page 58, Proverbs 3:5, number 5. Betach el Adonai b'chol libecha. Betach el Adonai b'chol libecha. Trust in the Lord with all your lave, all your heart. And then number 6, we won't sing this, but just this becomes a repeated refrain for Israel. Baruch atah Eloheinu ki tov atah. Baruch atah Eloheinu ki tov atah. Blessed are you, our God, for you are good. Okay, we'll end there. Page 59, there was some vocabulary, if you just want to glance over that, and then try working on your reading practice. Practice will help.
It's easier to read it in your head than when
absolutely. Fully agree with that. Easier to read in your head. It's a lot harder to sound it out.